is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Busy Tuesday ahead as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside Mr. Michael Lombardi out there at his office in Jersey. I'm Stormy Bonantoni live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. And Michael, remember yesterday when I said we got a good game on tap for Monday Night Football? Everyone laughed and laughed.
I did laugh at you. I was thinking of that this morning.
We ended up having a pretty intriguing matchup yesterday,
didn't we?
Maybe the
best one of the year. It was outstanding. Unbelievable. You know, unbelievable. Once again, Jacksonville can't win at home. Is this the strangest thing? They've won every road game, including in London, but can't win at home. They're 3-3 at home, and they couldn't slow down. They could not slow down that Jake Browning offense. Come on now. You know, that was impressive. You got to give them credit. I mean, they executed really well. They made plays, and they found a way to win the game at the end. And you know, if you're Jacksonville, that loss is going to sting for a while because you had a chance to take control of the AFC.
Yeah, they were bet up to a double-digit favorite in this game, Michael. So the Bengals end a three-game skid. They win outright as a double-digit dog on the road, led by a backup quarterback. And you said it, the Jags now, after having an opportunity to earn, at least for the short term, the top seed in the AFC, now fall to 4 and are just a game ahead in the AFC South now at this point. So a huge opportunity missed last night, and now dealing with Trevor Lawrence having a high ankle sprain. We just got the confirmation from Doug Peterson, as he is currently in his Tuesday press conference. He said that he has a high ankle sprain and Christian Kirk is going to miss some time with a core muscle injury that requires surgery. And we know high ankle sprains are typically week-to-week injuries, Michael. Trevor Lawrence has never missed a start in his NFL career.
And I think he's going to miss one now. So There goes another one. We got C.J. Beathard down. And we also might have Brett Rypien heading to New York to replace Tim Boyle. That didn't last long, did it? Brett Rypien has been in Denver, was on the Rams, and then he was on Seattle's practice squad, and now the Jets are signing him off their practice squad, which means when you sign a player off your practice squad, he's with you for 3 more weeks. Clearly, my man Zach Wilson had no interest in getting in there. Here comes Brett Rypien. I mean, this is amazing, the quarterback carousel that's been going on in the National Football League all over, you know, as you get to it. I mean, last week we lose 2 quarterbacks. We lost, you know, we lost Pickett, and now we lost Trevor Lawrence in the games. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Michael, there are as many backup quarterbacks in the NFL as there are starters at this point. And, you know,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I was just going to say 4 of the 7 teams in the AFC current playoff spots are on backup quarterbacks. The Browns are on their 4th quarterback right now. So Jags, Steelers, Browns, and Colts all in that situation. 9 of 16 teams in the AFC are backup. So you got Beathard and Browning, who we saw last night, Trubisky, Flacco, DTR, / PJ Walker, whoever you want to put in there for the Browns, Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, Zach Wilson, / Tim Boyle, / Trevor Siemian, / now Brett Rypien, Will Levis and Bailey Zappi. Like, that's absurd.
It's unbelievable. And frankly, you could add New England. They're playing 2 backups. I'm not even sure they're good backups between Bailey Zappi and Mac Jones. I'm sure they're not even 2 good backups. So you can count them as starters. You really can't, because they can't deliver and start. So, you know, we're going to have a lot of games next week. We're going to start off Thursday. We'll call it backup week 14, because we're going to start with 2 backups on Thursday night. And Cleveland-Jacksonville is going to play 2 backups. I mean, this is going to be interesting. I mean, look, Indianapolis is facing Cincinnati. There's 2 backups. So you can go through the list of the backup bowls we've got this week. It's pretty remarkable. I mean, it's really remarkable.
How worried are you for Jacksonville in the AFC playoff picture now with that opportunity missed and 2 of their key players out for the foreseeable future?
Well, I thought for sure they would play much better defense than they did. I mean, that was the worst game they played defensively all season, including the 49er game. I mean, they just did not play well. They couldn't put any pressure on them. And, you know, I think what was going on in the game, that was an anomaly for Cincinnati to play like that in the offensive line, to be able to hold up and handle it. So I'm worried about Jacksonville's defense. I mean, typically they've been able to get the lead offensively, score the points that they need to score. Last night they didn't have a turnover. They got a turnover on the ridiculous play call and pass by Tyler Boyd, and yet the Bengals were still able to win the game. I mean, when you give up 491 yards at home to a backup quarterback. I mean, that you've got some issues. You've got some issues. They were fortunate in Houston. Houston turned the ball over. I mean, Houston had chances in that game, couldn't close it out at the end. He takes a sack on a three-step drop, takes a sack on a screen pass. That hurt them. Tennessee, I mean, whenever they played a good offense, Tennessee, even the Saints had 400 yards. I mean, the Colts moved the ball up and down the field. The problem was Minshew was throwing the ball to them. So I am concerned about Jacksonville. I'm concerned about them defensively, and I'm concerned about them offensively because for all the conversation about how good they are offensively and how Trevor Lawrence has turned the corner with Doug Peterson, you don't see it when they play at home. You really don't.
Which is completely opposite of what we'll talk about a little bit later on in this hour with Miami, who plays significantly better at home versus on the road. And you know, most teams, you would obviously expect that as well. But as for this Jags defense, you mentioned the 491 total yards given up. Bengals were 8 of 14 on third down, 3 for 3 in the red zone. We talked going into the game about how much the Bengals struggled to run the football last week against the Steelers. This week, 156 yards on the ground, averaging 5 yards per rush on the day with Joe Mixon and Chase Brown, what they were doing. And then Jake Browning, despite in the first quarter, like having all of his throws basically at the line of scrimmage, ended up having an incredibly efficient day, even on passes downfield, 7 of 7 for 170 yards and a touchdown on passes of 10 plus air yards. Of course, that big touchdown to Jamar Chase for 76 yards certainly helped the cause. But how impressed were you by Jake Browning? Because we had some question marks certainly coming into this game, and he answered a whole lot of them.
He really did. He played like, you know, this was a highly recruited kid coming out of high school, won a lot of high school games, 4-year starter at the University of Washington. He's got pedigree to him. I mean, this isn't a 1-year player at the University of Washington, but I was really surprised. I mean, the fact that he ran 12 plays on that drive in overtime, 12-play drive in overtime, got 3 first downs and put him in field goal range to win with a 48-yarder. When the game was on the line, he made some clutch, accurate throws. It was impressive. You could not deny it. Now, I think a lot of it was they played a lot of zone. He had some really easy throws. He got himself into a rhythm. And then once they started playing man coverage, he made great throws. I mean, the throw against on Chase on the deep ball, that was a great throw. Didn't throw it out of bounds like a lot of quarterbacks do nowadays. I thought he was really impressive. His poise was great. They were able to run the ball. They had the mixture. Their offense changed dramatically from what Burrow typically wants to do to what they did. Way more bootlegs, a little under center, a lot of play action stuff off of the shotgun. I thought they did a great job. You have to give Zach Taylor credit for changing what he did, not necessarily in the play calling. They still threw it 44 times, but a lot of those throws were really outside runs. So the Bengals did a great job. Now, the Bengals defensively, they still have issues. They're still not good enough defensively. Although last night they made enough plays, especially the red zone. When they got down there, before Lawrence got hurt, they're driving the ball down there. They got a chance in the red zone. They couldn't put it in.
First undrafted player in the common era to throw for more than 350 yards and complete 85% of his passes, which I'm not sure why they let Tyler Boyd throw the football when you've got a guy that's doing that on the day. But tell me how the worst play of the game comes from the non-backup quarterback. Like that was, yeah. How bad was that, Michael? Come on.
It was a 1st and 10 call. They're trying to throw the screen to the other side, which, you know, I mean, it was a trick play. Like,
They tried 2 trick plays. They were both either negative yards or a pick that sets up a scoring play for the other team.
You didn't have to trick them. You were doing a good job just calling the plays you had. They couldn't stop you. You know, that's what happens to a lot of guys that are play callers. They defend themselves. You know, there's nothing wrong with repeating a play. If it's good, keep playing it. Make them stop it. Oof. Look, they scored 34 points on this Jacksonville team at home. I mean, that's got to be really disheartening. Now Jacksonville's lost to a high ankle sprain, their starting quarterback. C.J. Beathard, I thought he came in and did a decent job, ran around a little bit, got away with a fumble. They were able to recover it. But for the most part, I mean, I don't know. You know, they don't have a run game. I mean, one thing about Jacksonville, they try to run it. They're 8th in the league in attempts in terms of rushing. He does try to run the ball. The problem is they can't run it. They're 30th in yards per attempt. They're 22nd in yards per on average. So even though they try to run it, they can't. And then they get into the situation where they're just not able to make enough plays down the field in the passing game. I think that's the big issue. Defensively, I mean, look, the one thing we know about their defense is you can throw the football on them. They're 30th in pass attempts against them. They're 30th in yards allowed against them, and they're 26th in touchdown passes against them. This defense has not played good enough all year.
Yeah, with both of those defenses struggling, we get another primetime over. All three of the primetime games go over this week, the first time since week 12 of last year that that has happened in the same week. And Michael, also with Jacksonville losing and the Steelers losing this week, the top two picks in Survivor go down. We are down to 30 contestants here
at Paulie's Circa. Got, we got two people on our staff that have won.
Awesome.
Paulie and Adam. I mean, wow, that's amazing. You know, look, you go down losing to Pittsburgh at home and Jacksonville at home against teams that were not very good. I mean, you lose, Pittsburgh loses when you watch the game. I mean, Kyler Murray threw for 140 yards and you lost that game. I mean, that's just so hard. That's what makes this, it's really luck. I mean, because Pittsburgh's the right play there. It was the wrong result.
Implied value of each entrance ticket. $308,900. Every week it feels like the top selection has been eliminated. There were 372 still alive as recent as Thanksgiving, and now we're down to 30. So that's been an awesome ride. You said it. Our guys, Paulie Howard and Adam Burke, both still alive at this point. We'll see what they can do. I hope they do something special. We got to take our first time out of the show. We're just getting started, though. Keep hanging out with us. A long 2 hours ahead of great content. Does anybody want to start for the New York Jets? That's what I want to know. Let's break down the mess in MetLife when we return here on the Lombardi Line. Stay with us. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College bowl season is here, and VSiN's got an early Christmas present for you. Not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet? No problem. We're giving away this year's College Bowl betting guide to everyone. We've got spreads, totals, and expert picks from the Golic, Steve Mackinnon, and Brent Musburger on every single bowl game. Put a bow on this bowl season and get a free copy of our VSiN College Football Bowl Betting Guide absolutely free. VSiN.com/bowl guide is where you can do it. Download your free copy today. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Super worthwhile, by the way, because they're going to be keeping tabs on all of the opt-outs and guys that are doing transfer portal stuff. It's going to be really, really important to have that information, Michael.
Clearly. I mean, like, they're, I mean, did you see Ohio State's list of people that are bailing off the ship?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know where they're, I mean, I don't look. I don't know where they're, I'm sure they have players behind them that are good, but this is going to be a massive, to me, as they get ready to play Missouri, it's going to be a massive kind of how they're going to want to play and how interested they are in playing. I mean, look, the line to open up at Ohio State, -3.5, and now Missouri's the favorite in most shops.
-6.5, Michael, was where it opened originally, so even higher.
Wow. Well, no, there you're right on top of it. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is why you need the guide so badly, because throw your handicaps from the season out the window. This is really an emotional handicap. Are they interested in playing? Do they want to play? And will the players even play? And these guys that, like, look, we saw Caleb Johnson. He said, hey, I'm not playing. I'm out. But I'm not deciding on whether I'm coming back next year, but I'm out of this game.
Yeah, Caleb Williams already makes it official that he's not playing in the bowl game, but he's a game time decision on the draft. Yeah, okay, buddy. Yeah. But we'll get into that game and plenty more college football a little bit later on in the show. VSiN Zone, Aaron Moore is going to join us like he always does on Tuesdays. Dive into the college football bowl slate a little bit, get some of his opinion, especially on those big top tier games. But you said it about this Ohio State Missouri game specifically for Mizzou. Like, this is the biggest bowl game they've had maybe ever, and are going to be extremely motivated. Brady Cook's not opting out, you know that much. So that'll be a fun game to keep tabs on for sure. We got to keep tabs on the quarterback position in general in the NFL, but we mentioned it off the top, especially with what's going on with the New York Jets. After Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian somehow made the Jets offense look worse last week, Michael, Tim Boyle has been released. Brett Rippon has been signed. And there were all of those reports yesterday from Zach Rosenblatt and Diana Russini that the team wanted to bring Zach Wilson back as QB1. He felt hesitant about stepping back into the role, whether it be for injury concerns or what have you. Head coach Robert Saleh spoke to media yesterday and addressed some of those reports.
if he was reluctant to play, guys, he wouldn't be here. All right. I actually coincidentally just got done speaking with him. He came in about a half hour ago and we had a really good conversation. The young man wants the ball. He wants to start. He believes he's the best quarterback in the room and best quarterback for this team and the best and the guy who gives us the best chance to win. And I'll tell you guys the same thing I told him. I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that he wants to play. I'm just not there yet.
He also later on in the day went on the Michael Kay show in his usual weekly spot and said it's conceivable that Wilson made a comment to a teammate about being reluctant to return to the lineup, which got leaked. Saleh said that he wouldn't hold that against a player, but he'll make judgments based on direct conversations.
I mean, this is hilarious. This is an absence of leadership completely, right? I mean, he denies the story, then acknowledges it might be true, and says that Zach wants to be the starter and thinks it gives him the best chance, but he's not sure of that. But 2 weeks earlier, Zach was really improving. Like, how do you believe anything? I mean, how do you believe
it's
anything?
It's such a mess in New York.
I mean, like, look. And then not only does he puts Tim Boyle in the game, but after one bad game, he cuts Boyle. Like, what's that? Like, I thought Boyle was your guy. Now all of a sudden, you're just going to give up on him after a game? I mean, that's, you know, like Boyle, what did he do? Did he set the house on fire? Did he take the Super Bowl trophies and run around the parking lot like George Costanza? I mean, like, what are we doing here? What kind of professional? We're a billion-dollar organization, but let's bring everybody back because once we get Aaron back, everything's going to be fine.
Speaking
you
of
can
what?
See that. It's as obvious yeah. as the nose on my face. Just bring Aaron back and everything in Jet World will be fine. It's no problem. Bring one guy back. It'll make it all better.
Everything will be fixed. It's of course Aaron Rodgers Tuesdays today, so I'm sure that he'll have to address all of these rumors on the McAfee show. We'll get any quotes and updates that we can as our program goes on. The Jets, meanwhile, Michael, as I look at their spread against the Houston Texans coming up this week, the Jets are taking money right now. They've gone down from 6.5 to 6 in the last couple seconds while we've been talking about this game. Total 33. The Jets in their 5-game losing streak, Michael, have only mustered a total of 45 points during that stretch.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been ugly. But here's what I think we have to be prepared for, Stormy, and we got to get a lead on. Not that we're all weather people here, but there is a indication of bad weather coming on the East Coast this weekend. And it's going to be some high winds and rain once again. It seems like every weekend we're getting rain here. And so you've going to have to be careful here, especially with these big numbers. I'm not sure we'll know exactly what it will be. But they are predicting, you know, as the game moves later into the day, that right now it's looking at 15-mile-an-hour winds in New York City with precipitation. So that is a cause for concern. Detroit, Chicago, apparently there's going to be gusts up to 20 miles an hour. So I think as you're looking at these games today, you got to be really careful. The under is going to continue to work down, not because of the quarterbacking play, which is understandable, it would, but because of the weather.
Yeah, definitely got to keep an eye on those, especially when it comes to the wind. I feel like we talk about that a lot here, but the impact that has specifically on the game. To wrap things up here, though, with New York, Michael, we talked a little bit yesterday, and you've said it numerous times on the pod or here on the Lombardi line, just that Zach Wilson, it feels like he doesn't really love football. He doesn't really feel like he's that type of guy. He doesn't have that kind of interest, but if you have to imagine you want to play in the NFL, right? Like if you have the opportunity, it seems so bizarre to be hesitant to want to come back into a game, to try to maybe like in New York, it's not working for you, but maybe somewhere else you could be a backup. We know these top tier picks get extra longevity when it comes to that role across the National Football League. They're given the benefit of the doubt for where they're picked. Like he could find somewhere else to turn things around for himself a little bit. I don't know if obviously, it feels like his career is over in New York, but if you want a job somewhere else at some point, you should probably get out there on the football field and show that you don't have the attitude and reputation that people think you do.
Yeah, I think so. And I think these little tidbits that have been leaked, and Saleh said that it may be true. But to me, I think it's really clear that he doesn't just love the sport. I mean, it's just not innately in him, and I don't think he's ever had it. It's always come so easy for him that he's never really had to fight through and be into this situation with the New York media, with the constant badgering. And frankly, whether it's been the coach coaching him. So I think it's really hard to handle it, and I think he's having a hard time with it. And the National Football League requires incredible competitive stamina. It's such a long season. It's such a marathon that you've got to be willing to do the same thing over and over and over again when you don't have success. You can't look differently when you win than when you lose. And I think that's a hard thing for him.
All right, Michael, we talk a lot about these low totals. The lowest one in the NFL in 30 years is on Thursday Night Football coming up this week as the Steelers 30. And Patriots go head-to-head. Yep, it is set at 30. And Kenny Pickett had ankle surgery yesterday. Mitch Trubisky will step in. Not so Zappy hour in New England. Has not been great there. 5-point spread with Pittsburgh favored. Is every Patriots player banged up, though? Look, Ramondre Stevenson, high ankle sprain, expected to miss a few weeks, according to Adam Schefter. DeMario Douglas didn't practice yesterday. Juju Smith-Schuster, Devontae Parker, Zeke, all limited on their estimated injury report. It's not looking good for New England.
Not at all. And you know, it's funny, Stormy, this morning I went back and watched Week 2 of last year, they played in Pittsburgh. And Mitchell Trubisky was the starter that day. He was the starter, remember, to start the season for the Steelers. And the game was a 17-7 game. Pittsburgh, 17-6 game. Pittsburgh scored late in the game and went for two and got it and made it 17-14, and New England was able to. But New England's team, pretty much the same team. Pretty much the same team. Kendrick Bourne was there. They had Nelson Aguilar playing receiver, but boy, did they look different. Mac Jones looked different. The offensive line looked different. This team today looks nothing like that team, and that team scored 17 points. Their defense looks different as well. That defense held Pittsburgh to really a poor day on the ground and a poor day up in the air. With Trubisky, he threw a pick, and they were able to convert a drop by Gunnar Olarowski or something, I forget how to say his last name, and that turned into 7 points for him. But that was an interesting game because both offenses struggled, but New England looked vastly different than they do right now.
Yeah, this is going to be an ugly game. You feel for Al Michaels. You really, really do at this point.
No tie. This is going to be too windy and cold for a tie.
Dang. So even the one thing you have to look forward to on Thursday night, we're probably not going to get. We're going to step aside here real quickly, looking at the AFC and NFC playoff pictures when we return on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check the top VSiN experts leaderboard as well to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro Picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Let's look at some potential bets for who could get the number one seed in the AFC and NFC. With week 13 losses now by the Jags, Chiefs, Browns, and Steelers, much of the AFC feels like it's imploding to an extent. But a team that you wrote about today on VSiN.com in your column in the Miami Dolphins appears to be surging, Michael. What do you make of this Miami Dolphins squad?
Well, I mean, look, like I wrote about everybody up in the Northeast. Can't wait to get to Florida in December, right? Because it's warm weather. It's nice. They've got Dunkin' down there. They got Wawa. They got all the bagels just like New York. So why not just transport yourself down there to warm weather? The Dolphins, if they were to make a schedule up that was conducive to their team, this schedule would be it. They have the next four of the remaining five games are at home. They're going to embark on a three-game homestand. One of the games that they have to play is Dallas, which will be a tough game. Then they have a relatively easy schedule. Besides that, they end the season with Buffalo at home, and we know this is a completely different team at home than they are on the road. And what I wrote about today about Miami is everybody focuses on Miami, their offense. Well, look, their offense is good, but when they can't beat good teams, especially when you look at them since the Philly game, it's not because of their defense. It's because their offense can't get the ball to Hill. and they can't control the line of scrimmage. And they're going to have to fix that problem, and they're going to fix it at home if they can. They got Tennessee this week, which fits up perfectly for them. Tennessee can't cover anybody. Without Jeffrey Simmons inside, it's going to be a tough match. Miami's defense, and this is important, Miami's defense will hold Tennessee, typically, which scores 17 points on average. They'll probably get 14 at the most, and they'll be able to throw the ball effectively against Tennessee. So my point of the column is this, is the defense can go play in bad weather. Can the offense play against physical teams? And can they run the ball well against those teams? I think that's the fundamental question you've got to ask.
Yeah, and the Dolphins are, to your point, huge favorite on that Monday night doubleheader coming up against the Titans. 13.5, the number that we're seeing right now. You imagine they're going to be a pretty big favorite against the Jets the following week as well. But then, to your point, you've got the Cowboys at the Ravens and against the Bills. And I wonder just your thoughts in general about the struggles that Miami has had against those better teams on the schedule, because they've dominated the lesser than opponents, as evidenced by that big win that they just had against the Commanders this past week. But no team in the AFC has a worse strength of schedule, which I think is important for context. In their 9 wins, their point differential is plus 167. Miami's won its last 3 games by a combined 58 points. But in their 3 losses, a 48-20 loss at Buffalo that you saw on your screen a moment ago with the schedules, 31-17 at Philly, and then 21-14 against Kansas City. So how do you think that they're going to fare in those Week 16 and Week 17 matchups against teams that are kind of hitting their stride at this point right now? Because they are, Miami is, currently the number one seed in the AFC and a favorite to finish the season there.
Well, the whole reason for the column was that everybody thinks that their defense could let them down against good teams like the Cowboys and the Ravens. They'll play good defense in both those games. For me, it's focus your attention on this Miami offense, because when they play against good coordinators, like they're going to have in Dallas with Dan Quinn, like they will in Baltimore with McDonald, I mean, they're going to take away Tua's first read. He throws the ball at 2.3% average attempt. He gets the ball out of his hands very quickly. But when you look at him over the course of the year on the road, or when he gets into a third down situation where the first read isn't always as easy for Mike McDaniel to give it to him, then it becomes a little bit of a problem. And I think that's going to be the issue. Can they run the ball on Baltimore? Can they run the ball on Dallas? See, what everybody gets caught up with, well, they're going to make big plays. If you look at the games, when Tyreek Hill doesn't get over 100 yards, they struggle to win. It's even further proof why he's the most valuable player in the league. I mean, the one game he didn't do well in, they still won the opening game against New England. New England held him to 40 yards. And their point total goes way down. So for me, I think this is really about, can their offense match the physicality of the defense? And anytime they play against a physical defensive front like Philadelphia, like Kansas City, they have struggled offensively. I think that's something we have to look into. I think they're in the driver's seat, though, because they got 4 of the next 5 home games. If they don't have home field advantage, it's going to be for all the reasons I cited in the article.
Yep, the title of the article, if you're looking for it, on VSiN.com, the AFC's road to the Super Bowl may go through Miami. And I reference them being the favorite to earn that number one seed, plus 170, the numbers right now. They had been off the board until just a couple moments ago. Baltimore sitting at plus 230, followed by Kansas City 3-1, Jacksonville plus 750. If I gave you $100, Michael, would you put it on Miami or would you put it elsewhere?
I think I would put it on Miami. I think their defense can carry them far. I love their defense. I've been loving their defense all year. I think their defense is for real. Now, you know, they've lost Phillips, but I think they can overcome that. But they make it very challenging. You can't really run the ball on them. You've got to be able to be diversified with what you're doing. So for me, it's going to be, you know, I mean, I think if their offense can match, they certainly can. I think the Ravens are their number one opponent, and they play them in Baltimore. If they can't do that, what that tells you is they're going to have to go north, like all the people who go to Florida for the winter. They're going to have to come up north. And when they come up north, I'm not sure it's going to be as good. It'll affect their offense, not their defense.
Let's go to the NFC, where the San Francisco 49ers just have been on a tear since that bye week. Brock Purdy has been about as good as you can be. The Eagles still have the best record in the NFC at 10-2 right now. And the last three games of their schedule, pretty easy, but obviously a tough test against San Francisco that they lost. Another tough test this week in round two against the Dallas Cowboys. They're a minus 135 favorite to earn the number one seed, but San Francisco sitting there at plus 165 is pretty attractive to me. They just need to get over that Baltimore hump in 3 weeks, which I think they could and should do. Any interest in a plus money price on San Francisco over Philly getting the top seed?
Well, I mean, all they got to do is get Philly to lose one of the next. Philly's not going to lose to the Giants or Arizona, you know, or the Giants in the second one. Philly may need to rest some of their guys at the end of the year, so maybe they would if they felt like it. The Niners, I mean, look, they've got Baltimore is the team that's got the wrench in who holds home field advantage, aren't they?
Yep. Yeah, it appears right? That way.
It seems like it, and it could affect them. You know, everybody counts them as the team that's hard to beat, but you know, they're also, it's going to be effective for them. They got to play San Francisco. So the way San Francisco's playing, I think they will be the home field if they just continue to play that way and stay as healthy as are and don't lose focus and don't lose guys in terms of the players that are most important to their team. So, yeah, I would put money on San Francisco. There's no question. Philly, I think Philly will bounce back. I'm not saying they're going to bounce back this week against Dallas because I think that's going to be a hard game. But I do think they'll bounce back, yes.
Yeah, 3-point spread in that game where things sit right now on Sunday night. And, I mean, the Lions and Cowboys are also sitting at 9-3 right now and obviously would be better payouts if they were able to overcome. But the Lions, Michael, to me, just continue to get tripped up. And I think they're a good team. I don't think that they're a great team. I think once they get to the playoffs, it's probably going to be a tough road for them. And Dallas, I like them a lot, but seeing the schedule that they have ahead against Philadelphia, at Buffalo, at Miami, against a Detroit team that's probably, you know, gaining a little bit of confidence back after losing a tough game on Thanksgiving. Like, I just don't see it for the Lions or Dallas, but could you be intrigued by either of those big numbers?
I think anytime the Lions play against a good quarterback, they show their warts. Okay. They show their lack of ability to cover in the back end. And again, when they play against, I mean, now we're getting to the point of the year where it's really the coaching really starts to matter the most, right? The matchups of the coaches really start to take over here. And you can see it, and you could see like what Zach Taylor did last night, the way he changed his offense. You can see it with all the little different things that they're doing defensively. I think that's – and then some of these staffs this time of the year, they think they're going to get fired. And so the energy and the part of putting it all in starts to dwindle a little bit, and that's where teams take great advantage of it. So, you know, I think it'll be a great – I think there's the have and have-nots this time of the year, and the good coaches know how to handle this.
If you had to pick your, you know, conference winners right now, is it San Francisco and Miami? Is that who you predict playing in a Super Bowl at this point?
They look like the two best teams right now. I say that because too defensively, Miami is good defensively. They're hard to play. Ask anybody who's played them.
And if they get that home field, to your point, that's where they shine. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, VSiN Zone, Will Hill is going to join us. He's got some plays in both the NFL for Week 14, as well as college football, getting ahead of some of these bowl lines. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook's got your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N. The crown is yours. Alongside Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni as we welcome in great friend of the show, Will Hill, VSIN contributor, also a staple of the Bear Bets podcast with Chris the Bear Felica. Welcome in, Will. How we doing, buddy?
What's going on? Good to see you guys. I feel like I say it every week or every time I'm on, but man, the season starts and you know, 1 week leads to another and you look up and it's somehow December. Like, how did we get here? It goes by so fast. It's hard to believe. We only got a few weeks left. College football season's over. It's portal news. So if you're betting bowls, and I don't know if I'll have time to get to some of these bowls, man, you're not betting teams. You're betting news. It's crazy. It's kind of sad because it's kind of destroying bowl season here, but good to be on. What's going on?
Well, we want to know exactly how you can take the Patriots at 5. I thought that number was 6. You're taking a lesser number.
He's betting it again. He's doubling down.
I can't take it what it was. I got to take it what it is now. So I'll take the points here with New England. I just don't think anybody's going to score. I mean, say what you want about New England. I mean, obviously they're 2-10. The record speaks for itself. They've actually played good defense, as we know. I mean, 3 games, 10 points or fewer. Look, Pittsburgh, I don't think is a good team either. It's just Pittsburgh's won a few more of these coin flips than New England. New England's been in a lot of these games. They haven't gone their way. Pittsburgh's been in a lot of these games. A few of them have gone their way. But you're putting MVP Mitch in a situation here where he's only got 3 days. He's got a short week to work with the ones. Again, this is not a good Pittsburgh team. They were completely outclassed at home by Arizona. So to me, this is, I don't know, 13-10, 10-7. Maybe I should just take the under, but this looks like a lot of points. Belichick, for what it's worth, has owned Tomlin. Now, again, most of that is with Brady, but I'll take the points here. It's not pretty. I don't love it, but I'm going to take the points here with New England.
Yeah. Go ahead.
He makes a great point, Stormy. I mean, look, the last 4 losses, 3 to Washington, 4 to the Colts, 3 to the Giants, 6 to the Chargers. And it isn't like when you go through Pittsburgh's schedule, right, and you see what Pittsburgh's been able to do and how they win games, that hasn't exactly been – they don't dominate. They beat the Titans by 4, right, and they beat the Packers by 4, lost to the Cardinals by 14 and the Rams by 7 in terms of their home games, you know. So, they don't beat anybody by a lot of points either.
And Will, granted, Twitter isn't always correct, but you mentioned maybe I should just take the under. From what I read on the Twitter machine was that this is the lowest regular season total since 1993. Can we tempt you on an under in this game because of what you just referenced with the lack of scoring?
It wouldn't be over. Now, 31 is cutting it close. I mean, this is the week of Army-Navy, and it's how low can you go? But, like, 17-14 is a low-scoring game. That still goes over. I would still play under if I had to play. I think both coaches will be conservative. Both teams say, hey, as long as I don't turn it over, I'll be in the game. So it would be under or nothing. That's really cutting it close in terms of the points, but I can't bet the over here. I just can't.
Well, you do have a play on Army-Navy now, don't you?
I like the over. I'm not taking it yet. This is, again, sometimes with betting, it's not what you bet, it's when you bet it. I know the narrative. I know everyone is going to go into this game and say, oh, this game always goes under, so the under is going to keep getting bet. It does keep getting bet. There's a 27.5 out there. It just keeps trickling and trickling. It's like watching a punt roll. You just want to let it roll as much as possible, then you down it. I'm hoping to get a 27, maybe a 26.5. And then play over. So again, there's no rush to play over here. It's all going to be under money because the narrative of this game always goes under. And it does. It always goes under. There's familiarity. They run the ball. They run the clock. But the thing is, it always goes under. But these unders, these totals used to be mid-40s, high-40s, then slowly into the low-40s, yeah, then the 30s, then the high-20s. Now you're dealing 27, 27.5. 3 of the last 4 years, this has been 30-plus points in this game. I know last year was overtime, but there have been a few instances where this game lands right on 27. So again, 27 is a key number because, you know, 17-10 is a likely score, not a likely score, but a possibility in terms of a score. So wait. But I like the over. I mentioned this with Iowa, Nebraska a few weeks ago. Once you get these really low totals, some of these books will let you do 3-team 10-point teasers. If you can get this down to 17, it's hard to stay under 17. So that's actually an interesting teaser leg. But to me, this is over, but just don't bet it yet. I think this number is just way, way too low. Not way too low, but I think it will be too low if you get to 27, 26.5.
You know, Sunday morning you texted me, you were shocked that Alabama was not a favorite to make the Final Four. And then you obviously bet it, and the number shifted immediately, and they obviously got in, and they, you know, beat out Florida State, which I'm not sure that was really the case. I think they beat out Georgia, but I don't think they were ever putting Florida State in this thing, especially with the quarterback situation. But now they go and play a really good Michigan team. I mean, these two teams, Michigan and Alabama, have played well. Alabama's have improved the entire season. Michigan, to me, has played well all year. But you like Alabama in this one.
I like Alabama. I think Alabama, now this open 3, I think they're going to close as a small favorite. You're not going to get a minus 2.5 or 3, but I think they'll close by a point or two favorite. I just think, lost in all the controversy this weekend, not a lot of people watch Michigan-Iowa. It's all about Florida State versus Bama. Who should get in? These exciting games, Washington-Oregon on Friday night. it's kind of gotten lost. Michigan is limping to the finish line. I know it's a good Iowa defense. I think their longest play from scrimmage, Michigan on offense, was 15 yards. Now you're getting a Bama team, which, look, Michigan's whole game is bullying you, out-physicaling you. You're not going to bully. You're not going to out-physical Bama and Saban. Saban's going to get a month or so here to prepare. I know Harbaugh is too, and this is a hell of a coaching matchup, obviously. Just two different personalities, two big personalities. I kind of think Bama beats them. I don't love what I've seen from this Michigan offense. I think what we've seen from Bama is continued improvement. Now, you can throw the Auburn game in there and say that was ugly, but that's always a tough game for them. I like Bama in this spot, and you could tell Michigan's reaction once they saw they were playing Bama. They were not excited, and you can't blame them. I mean, I think they were thinking, hoping maybe they were going to get Florida State and get a little bit of a layup. Their look said a lot on Sunday when they saw who they were playing, but I lean towards Bama in this game. I think Bama will be favored. I think they'll win this game. Have you talked about this game? Do you guys have a lean on this game?
No, we haven't talked much about it. I mean, it's too early to really talk.
It
we're
is early.
Concerned. You know, it's always so hard to predict who's going to play, even in these games. Now, all these kids typically play when it matters in the Final Four. I think this is a great matchup to see. I really do. I kind of am torn between both teams. Milroe, the way he's improved, to me, his movement creates so many problems for what Michigan wants to do defensively.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of Milroes in the Big Ten in terms of like that style of quarterback, too. That's another aspect of this game, I think.
And what a remarkable story he has been, too, from you think when he's benched against USF in that close game to what he's become down the stretch and, of course, winning the SEC championship. Really, really cool. I do lean taking the points with Alabama. That's kind of my initial sense as well, Will. I kind of like them maybe to win the national championship. So we'll see if I end up putting all my eggs in that basket or not. But there is another bowl game that you're looking at too, the Pinstripe Bowl, Rutgers and Miami going head to head. I know Tyler Van Dyke's in the portal. What intrigued you about that game?
And yeah, he's in the portal. Everybody's in the portal. I think I'm in the portal and I don't even know it. It's crazy trying to keep up with this. It's hurt bowl season so much, but I'll take the points here with Rutgers. If we were doing this show at, 9 o'clock in the morning out here in the East Coast, we could have gotten a 3. It's down to 2.5. I think for good reason. You're playing this game in Yankee Stadium. That's a home field advantage for Rutgers. I think this is going to mean more for Rutgers. You got a warm weather team in Miami who, let's face it, they had dreams of winning an ACC championship, 5 or 6 weeks ago, and they didn't take a knee and their season sort of fell apart. I don't know how interested they'll be. I don't know how many guys play for them. I don't like Cristobal in a big game. I don't like Cristobal laying points. I think this will be a coaching matchup advantage in terms of Rutgers, motivation edge in terms of Rutgers. So I think their guys will play. I think Rutgers might close. Pick them, 1-point favorite. I'll take the points here with Rutgers. And remember, in bowl games, and we got a lot of time to talk about these, but the 1.5, 2.5 are more valuable because teams down 7 that score a touchdown late, a lot of times you say, you know what, it's a bowl game. What the hell? We'll just go for 2 and you either win by 1 or lose by 1, or if there's enough time, it ends by a field goal on the other end and it lands on 2. So those 1.5, 2.5s don't look very valuable, but in bowl games, a lot of times, sort of like preseason NFL, where at the end of the game, they go for 2, so the points are more valuable there.
Do you have any Sunday leans at all on the slate? Are you still working on that?
I bet under Bears and Lions. I'm curious what you think in terms of like if you watch the film with the Bears, their defense has played a lot better. They've been
really
a horrible
good.
Unit for years now, but they're better against the run, decent
the run.
Against the pass.
Yeah,
exactly.
They play the
now
run
you're
really
throw
well.
Yep, yeah, you're going to throw in some weather here now. And Goff outdoors, table for 2 with Goff. A situation where there's wind, there's snow. To me, 40.5, that probably drops a little bit. I like the under in that one.
I think that's a smart play. If you like the under, that's the one to get. It's going to continue to go down as this weather report starts to get more obvious to everybody else and they start betting that under. I think there's no question.
Yeah, seeing 40.5 where things sit right now. Will, great as always. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Thanks, Will.
All right,
awesome job.
Thanks for having me. See ya.
Make sure you check him out on X at not the Will Hill, which is still like one of my favorite Twitter names of all time. And I can't even call it a Twitter name, man. X name. What, that just doesn't have X. The same ring to it in my brain. As well as download the Bear Bets podcast. He and the whole crew, Sammy P, Chris Felica, Jeff Schwartz, they do a great job with the gambling group chat. We'll be right back here on the Lombardi Line, resetting for hour 2 and welcoming in our DraftKings Network friends.